Hello, my name is Paul Barnes. I'm the artistic director of the Great River Shakespeare Festival, at least until June 30th, 2013, when I step aside and Doug Schultz-Carlson takes over as the artistic director. And this season, I'm directing Twelfth Night for the festival. It's my first ever Twelfth Night, although Twelfth Night is a play that I've seen many times. It's the first time I've actually directed a production. So here's what I've learned about the play, and here are a few things that may help as you go in to see a performance of our production of Twelfth Night. The play concerns many things, but before the story begins, you should probably know that there is a pair of twins whose father has passed away, and several years after his death, they set off on a sea voyage. And during the sea voyage, a storm shipwrecks their vessel, and they are separated in the storm, not unlike another pair of twins or two pairs of twins in Shakespeare's early comedy, The Comedy of Errors. Unbeknownst to each other, the twins wash up in separate locations, thinking that their sibling has died in the shipwreck at sea. And then our story begins. They both end up in a country called Illyria, which is actually on the Adriatic coast in what was known a number of years ago as Yugoslavia, is now Croatia, and probably on the coast somewhere around the city of Dubrovnik, and that beautiful, beautiful, sort of magical geographic landscape. There's a duke in Illyria. His name is Orsino, and he is actively pursuing the Countess Olivia, who he thinks he is in love with. But it seems that Orsino is really more in love with the idea of being in love than he is truly in love. And his journey in the play is towards a lasting kind of love, a meaningful love spurred by Viola, the shipwrecked twin, who, to protect herself, decides to disguise herself as a man and go to the court of Orsino, where she seeks employment. She becomes the favorite of Duke Orsino because, underneath the surface, finds himself quite attracted to the young woman, now disguised as a man, unburdens his heart to her, and sends Cesario, which is the name Viola takes when she arrives in the court of Orsino, employs Cesario as a messenger to bear love notes and messages to the Countess Olivia, who simply is not interested in Duke Orsino. So understanding those few things about the play, I think, will be helpful. It's also nice to know that many people are in pursuit of the Countess Olivia, not only Duke Orsino, but Sir Toby Belch, the Countess Olivia's uncle, is promoting a friend of his, a foolish country gentleman named Sir Andrew Aguecheek, who he thinks not only would be a good suitor for Olivia, but mostly because if Sir Andrew Aguecheek is successful in winning the Countess Olivia's hand in marriage, it assures Sir Toby of a place in Olivia's household, probably for the rest of his life. But because Sir Toby is something of a drunk and a wastrel, not really making a living on his own, he needs that sort of protection and assurance. So you've got Sir Andrew pursuing Olivia, you've got Orsino pursuing Olivia, and unbeknownst to the Countess Olivia, the steward of her household, a character named Malvolio, is also secretly harboring desire to marry the Countess for whom he is her steward, for whom he is employed. We've decided to give this production of Twelfth Night, which is actually the second production of the play in the festival's history. We produced Twelfth Night in our third season, and because it's one of Shakespeare's more popular and better-known comedies and better-known titles, it's a play that comes back frequently in the world of Shakespeare festivals. He wrote approximately seven comedies with titles that people generally recognize: As You Like It, The Taming of the Shrew, A Midsummer Night's Dream, and Twelfth Night being four of the more prominent comedies in Shakespeare's canon. And because comedies generally tend to be more popular when you pair them in a season with something more serious, you come back to the comedies a little bit more frequently than you do the tragedies or the histories. So this time out with Twelfth Night, I, in investigating the play, became intrigued with the title itself and the time of year implied by the title of the play, Twelfth Night. Actually, in the text, it would seem from the little bit of clues that get dropped throughout the play that it's probably the time of the year is probably late spring. But I've opted for a deep winter setting right around the time of Twelfth Night, the holiday, mostly because I think the play is filled with all sorts of epiphanies. And Twelfth Night means the epiphany. It is the celebration of the revelation of the Christ child to the three wise men. So that kind of revelation that occurs on a surface and a deep level all at the same time and on a meaningful level became sort of fascinating to me. So it's a winter setting. It's kind of late Victorian, early Edwardian, a little bit Dickensian, and we're adding in lots of music of the period and of the holidays. So as with many of our comedies, it's going to be a production that will be filled with plenty of music, plenty of singing. We have great voices in the Shakespeare Festival company, and it's always a pleasure when you get to have them sing as well as speak the King's English. This season, we have a truly exciting acting company because it is almost split down the middle between people who have been with us before and people who are brand new to the festival. Seven of our actors this season are brand new to the Great River Shakespeare Festival. We have an acting company of 18 people. Nine of the actors have been with us before. Plus, there are two young men who were in our apprentice actor training program in 2012 and who have now returned as acting interns, which is the entry-level position in the professional company. So audiences returning to the Great River Shakespeare Festival who have grown attached to some of our performers, I think, will be pleased to find many familiar faces on stage and also pleased to discover a lot of new talent on the stage. But right now, I can tell you that Corey Allen, who played Othello for us a few years ago and Oberon a couple of years ago, will be back to play Duke Orsino, the lovesick Duke, who is infatuated, he thinks, with the Countess Olivia. Stephanie Lamborn, who started with us as an acting apprentice, moved up into the company as an intern and is now a full company member, is playing Olivia. Tara Flanagan returns for her sixth season at the festival and will be playing Viola, the twin sundered from her brother, lost at sea, who washes up and dresses as a man and goes to the court of Count Orsino's. Michael Fitzpatrick is returning again. He's been with us, I think, for 9 of our 10 seasons, and he is the one actor from the previous production of Twelfth Night who is actually reprising the role he played in our third season. He is Sir Toby Belch. Chris Mixon is back and will be Sir Toby's companion, Sir Andrew Aguecheek, and Christopher Gerson returns to play Malvolio. Jonathan Gillard Daly, who played King Lear for us last summer and has been with us all 10 seasons, will be playing Festy. Doug Schultz Carlson, who's been with us all 10 seasons, is playing a kind of invented role of the caroler, who is sort of our singing host or master of ceremonies and threads his way in and out of the story and the production over the course of the evening. Donnie Repsher and Robert Montgomery are the two apprentice actors who have returned this season. And then we have a host of new actors from all across the country who are so far terrific people and very talented and great company members. Our set design will be simple, as it usually is at the Great River Shakespeare Festival. We always start with what we think of as our contemporary wooden O, which is that circular disc that sits right in the middle of the stage and provides playing levels and playing areas for our productions. Sometimes it's all one surface and all completely flat. Other times we break it up, we rake it, we raise certain elements of it. But again, this season, as with last season, it's going to be a pretty broad, expansive circle. And then we will add to that Victorian architectural elements, a large header, as we call them, which is an architectural piece over the stage that I think is inspired by architecture of the time, Victoria Station, and all of that kind of metal and ironwork that was being developed around the late 1800s, early 1900s. And then pieces that come and go. But because Olivia, the countess at the center of the play, is in mourning for the loss of her father and her brother, we're sort of taking a dark approach to the color palette of the play. The costumes will be muted and color is introduced very, very specifically and very carefully over the course of the play. So present on stage is a Christmas tree, but it's a black Christmas tree in honor of the 23 months of mourning that Olivia is required because she has lost not just her father, for whom she would mourn, I think, 15 months, but also her brother, whom she would be required to mourn for another 8 months. So it's kind of a dark look, but I think of Viola as a kind of life force in the play and a source of light. So with Viola, we want a sense of life to return to the world of the play because almost every person that she comes into contact with kind of lights up from that contact. Something gets awakened in them because she is present and brings a bit of liveliness, a bit of hope, and a lot of love into the world. There are several ways you can find out more about the Great River Shakespeare Festival and our season. Visit our website, www.grsf.org. You can stop by our downtown office at 79 East 3rd Street in downtown Winona to buy tickets, to pick up literature and information about the festival. We also have a Facebook page. We have a YouTube page that archives and chronicles all of the video work we do. We've become known over the years for a company that does innovative video promotions, and we try during the summer season to get a new video out each week that is designed to give you an insider's view of the festival itself, introduce you to some of the people, a lot of the activity, and also take a sort of tongue-in-cheek look at the Shakespeare Festival. Two of our most popular videos from last season, The Real Housewives of Shakespeare and Stuff People Say at Shakespeare Festivals, which both of which went instantly viral on the internet, are both archived on our YouTube channel and can also be found on our website. So there are lots and lots of ways you can learn about the Shakespeare Festival. It's probably good to know that we perform on campus at Winona State University, which is between Main Street and Huff Street, and the easiest parking access to the theater is off of Johnson Street and Mark or 11th Street, which runs right through the western end of campus. We have maps on our website. There are all kinds of ways in which we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to come and see what we think is a terrific theater company doing wonderful work on great plays. Thank you so much. Again, my name is Paul Barnes. I'm the director of the Great River Shakespeare Festival's 10th anniversary season production of Twelfth Night and the retiring artistic director of the little engine that could Shakespeare Festival in Winona, Minnesota. Thanks for joining us.